إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. Today inshallah in our concluding session with regard to the reminders of Salah, I want to remind myself anew of Allah, of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said when he said فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, woe to those who pray. Woe to those who pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't translate that as curse on the people who pray, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say la'anat on those people. Allah said, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, woe to those people, meaning that Allah is disapproving of those people who are praying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are unfortunate. But who are these people? أَلَّذِينَ هُمَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ, people who delay their salah. The importance of delaying, the importance of not delaying salah, we have mentioned this yesterday also. It's not the issue of how much you delay. The issue is of the reason why we delay. We delay something because we consider it to be unimportant. We delay it in favor of something else which we consider to be more important. So if you delay your salah, then effectively you are saying that for, in your opinion, your salah is less important than whatever else it is that you are delaying it for. Maybe it's just pure laziness, maybe it is being involved in some other matter of entertainment or work or whatever, and you consider your salah to be less important than that, and therefore you delay it. Now, this is an attitude of arrogance, it's an attitude of rebellion, it's an attitude at best of not understanding the value and worth of salah. Because why would you delay something which connects you to Allah? Why would you delay something which is the source of benefit? Why would you delay something which will help you in what you are doing? Let us remember that the thing that you are delaying is the only thing which can help us. The salah which you delay is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose help we need in the reason why we delay that salah. So if I delay my salah because I think I have this very important work, who is the one who is going to solve that problem for me? Who is the one who is going to ensure that I am successful in that work? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that help of Allah is what I am going to get from the salah. Now, why would I delay that? Unless I am completely ignorant of the value of the salah. And therefore, as I said, salah, delaying salah is either a sign of rebellion or is a sign of ignorance and stupidity, that you do not understand the value of the salah. So Allah said, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Imagine you going and praying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this salah is not acceptable, this is junk, throw it away. Now, what sense does it make? And that's the reason why it's very important for us to ensure that we pray, and we pray at the right time. As soon as the time for salah comes, we must ensure that we pray at the right time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. Also, woe to those people who are praying, who pray in order to show people. And that's the reason why I say that imamat is a musibah. Imamat is a huge problem. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not give imamat to the one who wants to become imam. Because the person who wants to become imam is indicating one of two things. Either that he is ignorant, or he is indicating that he wants prominence, he wants to show off. And therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not give him imamat. Imamat is a big problem, because when you are reciting Allah, Allah Alam, I'm sure there are people in the world who can do imamat and who can recite, and they have such tremendous khushu that they don't care who is behind them, they don't care what it sounds like and so on. They are not concerned about approval from the people, but may Allah forgive me, I am certainly not one of them. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me and to cover my faults and to accept my salah. Because the thought always happens that when you are reciting that, oh, but there are people who are listening and people who are behind you, and then the bigger the crowd behind you, the more the ikhlas gets ruined. And that's the reason why imamat is something to be avoided, and only do imamat if there is no other alternative. Much, much better, much preferable to pray behind another imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ikhlas in salah. And therefore, constantly it is necessary, especially when you are doing imamat of salawat, where you have to recite, to constantly make tawbah. A man came to Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi and asked him and said that I have a good recitation, and when I recite Quran in salah, people say that they have a lot of khushu and they like to pray behind me, so they ask me to lead salah and I lead,
But when I am leading, sometimes I get this thought in my mind that maybe I am leading in order to please the people, and so I cut short my recitation. What should I do? And Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi gave a beautiful reply. He said to him that when you get that thought, make tawbah and elongate and extend your recitation. So if you had decided to recite 20 ayat and you get this thought, then he said, make tawbah and recite 30 ayat or 40 ayat, because this thought is from shaitan. Shaitan is trying to cut short your recitation because he does not want people to benefit from this recitation. So he said, make tawbah and elongate the recitation. So this is one side of the story, that we make tawbah continuously in salah itself and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. But the key point of all of this is that in salah, ikhlas is absolutely of cardinal importance. Ikhlas is of cardinal importance anyway, but especially in salah. Because what sense does it make that we come to salah, we stand in salah, and then we lose the benefit of the salah, either because we have delayed it and we came in a lazy manner, or because we did not pray with ikhlas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned laziness in salah also as a sign of the munafiqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they, when they pray, qamu kusala, that they stand in a state of laziness. They are very lazy with regard to how they pray. A man came in Masjid al-Nabawi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa was sitting there. A man came and he prayed two rakat of salah, and then he finished his salah and he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa and said, salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, wa alaykum as-salam, go back and pray, you have not prayed. Now imagine, he did not tell him your salah was not perfect. He didn't tell him that that your salah is... He said, go back and pray, you have not prayed. The man went back and he prayed the two rakat again. He came back and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, go back and pray, you haven't prayed. The man went back and he prayed, and then he came back again. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, go back and pray, you have not prayed. The man said, ya Rasulullah, this is all I know. This is as much as I know. I can't do anything better than that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, please teach me. Please teach me how to pray properly. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he showed him how to pray properly, and he demonstrated to him, and he especially pointed out and said that make the movements of salah properly, make the ruku properly, make the sajda properly, stay in the ruku and the sajda long enough, and don't make a sajda like a crow pecking on the ground or drinking water or something. So make sure that you pray properly, ensuring that all the movements of salah are done in a correct manner. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was sitting in the masjid once, and a man came and he started praying. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, he looked at the man and he said that this man's outward behavior indicates the level of his khushu in his heart. The man was playing with his beard, he was pulling his beard and so on, and fiddling with his clothes. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said that this man's outward behavior indicates the level of his khushu in his heart. So let us be very clear about the Sahaba. It has been said many times that when they would stand in salah, they were like a post that has been staked into the ground. Or they were like, as if there was a bird perched on their head, that the bird would fly away if they made the slightest movement. They would be absolutely still in the salah. Being still is an indicator of khushu in the heart. Being still is an indicator, it's a sign of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us not fiddle around and let us not move and adjust our clothes and scratch and whatever else while we are in salah. It's very important that while we are in salah, we stand absolutely still. Remember, the issue of salah is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we are today in a world where we have smartphones and stupid people, but if you look at a smartphone, anytime it comes within range of a Wi-Fi, a wireless system, immediately the icon on the phone lights up showing that it is picking up the Wi-Fi, showing that it is connected to the Wi-Fi. Now imagine, we are supposed to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. All our waking moments, we are supposed to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All our waking moments, we are supposed to be like that smartphone which is constantly connected to the Wi-Fi system. Now, forget about being connected all our waking moments. We are not even connected when we are standing in Salah. Now, how unfortunate is that? That even when we are in Salah, standing in Salah, we are not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are fiddling with our clothes and, you know, our whatever it is. And wallah, subhanAllah, let us not do that. Ensure that we stand connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, at least when we are in Salah. And that's the reason why praying Nawafil is so important, because the Nafil Salah is the time for Mashq. Namaz ki Mashq do Nawafil mein hoti hai. Because in the first Salah, you are either leading Salah, you are the Imam, you are behind the Imam, and you do whatever the Imam does, or even if you are the Imam, you are conscious of the people who are praying behind you. I mean, you can't decide to, you know, fall down in sujood and remain there. I mean, somebody might think you died or something. So, the whole issue of Fard Salah is different. But when we are in Nawafil, especially the best of the Nawafil is Tahajjud. And of course, we can and we should pray more Nawafil other than Tahajjud, Salatul Duha, and so on and so forth. But the point is that in the Nawafil is the time to practice Salah. Is to time to improve the quality of Salah. A very good thing to do is to consciously remind yourself, maybe even make some notes and say, what are the typical things that I do when I am praying which I should not be doing? And different people have different things. I mean, some people are scratchers, and some people are beard pullers, and some people are clothes adjusters, and some people are something else. So make a note of that and say, what do you normally do which you should not be doing? And consciously pray to rakat of Salah and concentrate on that one thing and say, this thing I'm not going to do. Even if you do something else, make sure that that one thing goes out of your repertoire of what you do in Salah. Ensure that you make only the movements which you are supposed to make. The Aima of Islam, they have even prescribed, and somebody said that making one extra movement invalidates Salah, and somebody said making three extra movements invalidate Salah, and somebody said that one movement constitutes of the movement no matter how long it was being made, and so on. Let us leave all that aside. The whole issue is, irrespective of how many movements, we are not going to be sitting around counting the number of movements. We are saying that making any movement at all other than what is valid in the Salah, let us say that this invalidates my Salah, and therefore I am going to aim to say that I will make no movement other than that which was which is sanctioned and which is permissible in Salah. So, not delaying the Salah, ensuring ikhlasun niyyah when we are praying, ensuring that we are praying only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ensuring that we do not make unnecessary movements in Salah. Final point, a man came and he started praying in the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him, and the man prayed and the man is making dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and he said, how can this man's dua be accepted? How can his prayer be accepted? His clothes are haram, his food is haram, his actions are haram. So let us be very clear that for acceptance of dua and acceptance of salah, it is very important for us to ensure that we eat halal and that we earn halal. It is not permissible, and salah is not accepted, dua is not accepted from people who are eating haram and who are earning haram. So let us make sure that this Ramadan, make tawbah and say that I will ensure that I will not eat haram and I will not earn haram. We all know what is haram, we all know what is halal. I don't think I have to sit here and describe. Let's get honest and let's ensure that we do not fall into that trap. And the bottom line rule is that if you don't know, if you are doubtful, don't touch it. Anything that you are doubtful about, do not touch it. So ensure that we eat halal, ensure that we earn halal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our salah worthy of Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to improve the quality of our salah so that it becomes worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it is something that we will have for us in our favor when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover the faults in our salah and to accept it and to make it a source of our deliverance and a source of His forgiveness on the Day of Judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.